This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Here's Cal McNair talking about culture. This is the words of the owner. This is after all the offseason drama. This is Cal McNair himself, the man making the decisions, talking about what the Texans' culture is.
As we look forward, it's important for me to remind everyone who the Houston Texans are as an organization. Our culture has been repeatedly under question, so let me clear that up for all of you right now.
Thanks.
We are an organization committed to excellence, both on and off the field. We operate with integrity, character, a winning mentality, and a strong sense of community. We believe you can't go wrong by doing what's right, and ask our fans to trust that we know what's right. In everything we do, we are an organization committed to bringing a championship to the city of Houston.
React to that, please.
I can't take that seriously. I can't take that seriously at all. Trust Cal McNair and Jack Easterby to do what's right. Those are his words. We want our fans to trust that we know what's right. And no, you don't.
What it takes to win, what it takes to strive for excellence, what it takes to have integrity.
What integrity? What character? Everything. I mean, yesterday was truly the exclamation point. You know, people talk about sometimes. Most people agree with us, but sometimes we get messages. Man, you know, it always comes back to Jack Easterby. How come you do that? Because that's what it is. And Cal letting it happen, because that's the problem. We know we got here because of Jack Easterby and the power that he's got, and he's tried to get even more, and the trust that somehow Cal McNair and Hannah McNair have given him. You can't take what he said seriously. I don't. Trust, we know what's right. You don't. I can't emphasize this enough. I've often said the problem with the Texans rebuild is it hasn't even started yet, because they're just, you know, they're just bringing in guys and taking them out, put them on one-year contracts. We know the story, right? Well, the guys that you, if you had a tiny glimmer, just a speck of hope that maybe they are building their kind of guys, and maybe 5-6 years down the road, you know, something will be kind of the core of what this. You just sent them away. You just sent away one of the cornerstone pieces. You've alienated Brandon Cooks. You don't have a culture. You are starting at square one all over again. I can't trust that.
Well, the biggest problem to me is I have no problem starting at square one.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy into a process. I really, really can
but
buy
they
into
haven't
a
started
process.
The process yet.
And it can't get started.
Yeah.
That's my problem, is you can't start the process as long as a guy who we just showed had a hand in getting things where they got with the franchise quarterback, with the best player in franchise history, mm-hmm. all that stuff. If you increase that guy's role, and regardless of whether he's in on personnel or not, because he sucked at personnel, he's one of the worst. I mean, Jack Easterby was awful as Bill O'Brien's right-hand man. He was just as bad at creating the culture. So if you're going to increase his responsibility of culture building, and all the proof is there. I mean, he's putting phrases on the practice jumbotron. He's putting those same phrases on the wall. He's hiring. Like, with all the hires you've made, and you can talk about diversity and you can talk about all mm-hmm. that, he literally hired a guy who was his understudy, who credits him with being in the NFL, and he hired that guy as the, quote, character coach. Character's all you got. Culture and character, those are combined. You just heard Cal McNair say character, culture, etc. Jack Easterby was part of building the culture that you wanted to change. And that's why you were at that podium and you let him hire a guy that's going to be the character coach. This is the problem. Whether it's Whitney Merciless, whether it's J.J. Watt, whether it's Deshaun Watson, the biggest problem with the Texans is that young players, even guys that you're going to bring in, the guys who don't understand how to act professional and the guys who don't know what it takes to be a pro, it's not in their best interest to listen to the guy that's telling them how to act, because Jack Easterby can't be trusted. Jack Easterby shouldn't be trusted. So guys like Lonnie Johnson and Titus Howard, who should be buying in more than anyone to a culture, it's not in their best interest. So it's a lost cause. And players talk, coaches talk. Like, everybody knows that Jack Easterby shouldn't be doing what he's doing, but he's getting to do it. So when you start to bring in guys, they're either going to have to be so low level that they have no options, or you're basically going to be grabbing players from a kiddie pool instead of an Olympic size pool. You can't do it. Like, it's never going to start. You're never going to be able to build this culture as long as this guy's overseeing it. And if you don't care, then that's fine. But just get used to guys like Brandon Cooks at the top of the roster, and guys like Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt at the tippity top of the roster, and guys like Lonnie Johnson and Titus Howard at the ass crack of the roster, wanting nothing to do with you and not taking you serious. That's where you're at right now. That's the problem.
The bigger, yes. For me, having done this forever, I believe it was May 5th, 1984, I got my first full-time job in this industry. May 5th, 1984. Since that day, I've never seen an organization, high school, college, or pro, that made its fan base feel more helpless and hopeless than this. That's the problem. Even in the lowest moments of your favorite team's existence, what did Texas lose to? 63-14 to UCLA a couple of decades ago.
Shaming now.
Yeah. And the Aggies lost, I think, 73 or 77 to nothing to Oklahoma. Even in the absolute lowest point of your favorite team's existence, you always felt that there was a way out. Like, okay, well, Dennis Franchione's getting fired. He's getting fired. At least there's a glimmer of hope. They're gonna bring in new players.
That's what we got last year after 4 weeks.
That's what we got. Yeah, you know, when things are just bad, just pick your favorite team: Astros, Rockets, Texans, or something altogether else. Think about the absolute lowest point of that team's existence. You always felt that there was you didn't feel completely helpless, completely hopeless, because you knew things were going to have to change now. They had to change. You lose 73 to nothing, I think it was 73, 77 to Oklahoma. It's going to change. Might take a while, but it's going to change. You don't feel like this is ever going to change with Jack Easterby there. There is a complete feeling of helplessness and hopelessness with this organization. I can't emphasize that enough. I've seen this team go 2-14. I didn't feel helpless. I didn't feel hopeless, because things were going to change. And you had maybe a couple of players, a couple of people in the organization that you felt strongly about, you know, could maybe get this thing turned around. When Jack Easterby is in that building, as long as he's in that building, there is a complete feeling of helplessness with the Houston Texans and Texans fans in particular.
And it's a valid feeling. I think there's been times where you felt helpless. I mean, I'm sure there were times where you felt helpless when the Astros were losing 100 games a year.
Yeah.
But valid helplessness. There's no glimmer here.
No.
It's not going to happen.
And it's not going to change.
And you're making people look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you're making guys look stupid, like David Culley and Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks going up there saying, this is special. Buy him what you're selling. Which I rolled my eyes at then, because I just thought it was silly.
Yeah.
Special. There's nothing special about this.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I think he's starting to realize that too. Just listen to David Culley. They had that Building the Texans Culture on HoustonTexans.com. Just listen to what they're saying. Listen to what David Culley's saying about building this culture. And as we are right now, tell me that you think that this is the reality of the situation. Because spoiler alert, it's effing not.
These guys, every day when they come into the building, that environment is there, and we all have the same goal. We're creating a culture here that everybody's comfortable with and that they know will be successful in. And I feel like every day when we walk in the building, we're getting that.
It's a lie.
You don't have that feeling.
It's a lie.
You absolutely do not. It's a lie. It's depressing. It's sad. You feel like, you know, maybe if enough people are apathetic to this team, and people are being apathetic to this team, they'll notice that. They won't.
Do you like when you work, like if I go out, like I'll rock my Sports Radio 610 hat, mm-hmm. I'll rock my Sports Radio 610 shirt. I'm proud, man. Like yeah. I'm proud to be a part of Sports Radio 610. I'm proud.
Yeah.
Nobody in that building is proud. Like nobody's proud to be a member of this organization with Jack Easterby lurking around there. Nobody's proud. Yeah. Like the only guys that are sitting there like talking about, you know, being Texans and stuff. These guys are the guys that are on 1-year deals, the Christian Kirksey's, the Kamu Grugier-Hill. But I can promise you this, if all things are equal and those guys get offered like the same salary or the same contract and they play their way in, they're not going to hang around here.
No.
You're going to have to pay them more. Like there's no reason to be proud of being a Houston Texan because they don't want to change anything.
Yeah.
And that's where Cal McNair is. And I don't know what fantasy land he's living in, but you can't have Jack Easterby overseeing the culture and get to where you want to get. I'm not going to bail. It's my job.
Right.
But the reason that we talk about Jack Easterby is because that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that that's the problem. That's the
Everybody
issue.
But a couple people.
That's the problem, though.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm not going to blow smoke here. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to turn on the effing mic and say, you know, this team would be really close if they had less penalties. Or, you know, the Tyrod Taylor got hurt, and, you know, that's what it is. And, come on. Like, the problem is deeper. And what's more frustrating about it is they're trying to present this deeper meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be one thing if they came out and they said, look, we just don't have the talent. We're going to have to have an offseason with salary cap room, and we're going to have draft picks, and then we're going to get this going. If they were saying that, I would say that's a good sales pitch. That's the best possible sales pitch you can have. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Cal. That's as good as you can do. Good job. Hand clap.
Yeah.
But they're sitting there talking about some mysterious culture.
That's not
and
there.
The culture is y'all's problem.
Yeah.
The guy building, it's the problem.
Yeah.
Tell me the players suck. Tell me that you need draft picks. Tell me that you need more talent. Tell me that. But don't sit here and talk about some over-romanticized culture because that's your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is culture.
And talking about how that culture is going to lead to the winning.
Come on.
It hasn't. It didn't.
Silly.
It won't.
Y'all are being silly.
Yeah.
713-572-4610. KJ, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? Man, I'm feeling y'all this morning. Once again, you love the show, love the back and forth. But let me say this. I mentioned this to you guys before about a week ago, and I reiterate. Finding Jack Easterby, of course, would be a major move in the right direction. But let's look back real quick. What we're seeing in Jack Easterby is Bill O'Brien 2.0. So I still say the main issue was Cal McNair. He allowed Bill O'Brien all the freedom and whatnot that he wanted. Bill O'Brien isolated players, alienated players. He got rid of Bill O'Brien. He turned around and allowed Jack Easterby to do the exact same thing. I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to let y'all have the floor back. The majority of people that I talk to who are like me, at one point diehard fans, are all saying the same thing that I'm saying. Firing Jack Easterby right now would be a good move, but Cal McNair is still incompetently going to be running the team.
That's true, and I get you, and I appreciate you, KJ. But this is the thing. You can win with an owner that isn't awesome. It's happened.
No.
There have been many owners that have won, but there's no chance in hell at winning with Jack Easterby still here. None.
Because you didn't feel helpless. Like what could possibly be done right now? Because if they haven't moved on now, they're not going to move on anytime soon from the core problem of this mysterious culture that no longer exists. Even the culture they were trying to establish has left the building with Mark Ingram and with what Brandon Cooks was saying. It's gone. So, you know, that's why I say you're back to square one. But in the lowest moments, you know, you always had that. Even Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby working in tandem, we knew it was a mess. But we felt, all right, well, it's got to change now. You know, the way they started the season, then they fired Bill O'Brien. Well, it's just a matter of time from moving on to Jack from Jack Easterby, and they didn't. So you're just sitting here, and you don't have that, you know, that feeling of, well, you know, Robert Saleh or you know, Brandon Staley, you know, young bucks that, you know, maybe can work with a general manager, and yeah, they're going to go 2-14, but you know what? We're on to something here. You're not on to anything. You're hopeless right now as a Houston Texans fan. That's the saddest thing I've seen in, what is it, 37 years in this business now? Whatever the math is from May. I had to think about it.
Astros are playing baseball. May Rockets 5th. In the playoffs.
May 5th, 1984. The day after I graduated from Texas A&M, I started my first full-time job at the Bryan Eagle. I've never seen a team. I've seen a lot of horrible teams. I've never seen a horrible team that didn't have some grain of hope. Until now.
What else is going on in town, though?
The Astros are playing baseball.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate
Thank
you.
Thank God for that.
Yes, they are. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. The Astros are playing baseball, but baseball is under attack. That and some of your calls next.
The Astros are playing baseball.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Texans culture crumbling, Astros culture thriving. Swag
and getting better
and spark. It all goes back to that second inning. We'll relive that in a sec. Before we do, though, let's go to Jay. Jay, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Look, I just want to say real quick, every time we have bad seasons, people start telling me, people like us, that we're fake fans, we're just bandwagon fans, and we only ride whenever the Texans are on top. I just want to tell them, this is a different year compared to years past. Back then, we had players we knew could turn the tides for this team. Back then, we had players that we knew could actually make a difference in this team. Where are they now? Not here. That's what the difference is now. And why are they not here? Because effing Jack Easterby, Kyle McNair, and B.O.B., they ruined this team. I'm not a fake fan. I'm just criticizing what's going on with this team. You know what, though? Let's enjoy this weather and let's go Astros.
Let's go Astros.
It always goes back to Astros, right, Jack?
Yeah, of
right,
course.
Jack,
Astros are playing baseball.
Hold on, let me get a question in with Jack. Hey, Jack, what's up with this culture, man? How do you feel about that? Brandon Cooks called you out. What do you think?
The Astros are playing baseball. Rockets in the playoffs.
Yes, they are. And it all goes back to that second inning. Let's relive it. Let's get some Siri boy swag. Jose Siri inserted into the lineup by Dusty Baker. And my goodness, it paid off. Top of the second. 4-run inning for the Astros. Big Tuck with the single. Yuli with the single. Tucker, who's fast as hell. That lanky son of a bitch can run.
They are going all in on the Ted Williams comparisons now.
They put his swing side by side. But that some bitch is like six strides to the base. That dude's fast as hell. Base
cut! Postseason he's having.
I didn't say he was faster than he looked. You just jumped the gun there.
You surprised he's fast, though. Why are you so surprised?
There you go. You're right. When you're right, you're right, Figgy.
So with Tuck on... You are right. With Tuck on third and Yuli on first, in came Siri, batting eighth yesterday. Siri's showing off them wheels. He gets jammed, but then he gets the crowd to go nuts as the Astros take a 2-1 lead.
Jammed, and a score run, and and a safe all around 2-1 Houston here in the second.
And I mean, Siri's just going nuts. He just has the crowd going crazy. And this play, probably one of the most exciting plays of this run, this current Astros run.
Yeah.
Siri on first.
Oh, so good.
Third, Martin Maldonado at the plate. First of all, anytime Martin Maldonado gets a hit, I think it's happened twice this postseason.
Two or three at the most, yeah.
Martin Maldonado gets an RBI single, and then Siri just shows off those wheels.
Left side, base hit. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score. Going to third with nobody there is Siri. He pops up, comes to the plate. Two-run score. 4-1. Astros on top.
4-1. Michael Brantley comes up, makes it 5-1. That was the end. And the Siri energy, it paid off. And I got to say this, man. You know, we're talking about trust issues with the Texans organization, and obviously the greatness of Jeff Luhnow is always on display when the Astros are on the field. But between Myers early, Chaz McCormick a little later on, and the sparks that Siri has given going back to Game 5 of the ALCS and Game 2 of the World Series, between the center field position and Maton and what he's done, he's been nails. The bullpen appears to have been fixed. You have Graveman and Maton doing what they're doing.
Graveman come in.
Those two guys that you traded for and the center field position. James Click has looked very, very, very good.
He really has. On Siri, that play right there, the Braves have to just be, you know, fighting each other right now over how badly they misplayed just basic baseball. You know, shortstop getting to third base. If he'd have just caught that ball, he thought it was going to somewhere else, Siri wouldn't have scored there. And that was clearly, as you said, that was ball game in essence. I mean, that was momentum builder. And then all that style that he has, even like when he catches just a fly ball, he just puts a little extra jelly
Willie
on
Mays
it.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, it really ignited the crowd. Who would have thought that that crowd in that environment with those guys on the field, the biggest spark would have come from Jose Siri, because having a spark in the and a little, you know, get up in their step has never been an issue, but he brought it even more.
Drip.
Yep.
And drops. That was the theme post-game. Drip and drops. The drip is Jose Siri. He's sitting at the podium with Jose Altuve. He takes off his pinky rings.
He's got wearing, like, two buttons buttoned.
He's wearing a sweatsuit and showing off that chest.
Yeah.
And he decides to give Jose Altuve a couple pinky rings, which leads to Mark Berman having the widest interaction in the history of post-game interactions.
The games in the Dominican Republic are some of the most exciting that I've ever been a part of. You know, Estrellas and also for the Gigantes. you know, I don't think I get nervous at all. Thanks a lot in part to that, because I was able to play in those kind of atmospheres in the Dominican Republic.
We'll go to Mark here in the first row.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, Jose, what are you doing right there? Jose Siri.
Oh.
Siri. Yeah. What were you doing just there with his ring?
And he just giving me his ring so I can flash, little flash. Blimp.
Okay.
There's the drip.
Little floss, little bling.
Now we go to the drops. Those are the drips. These are the drops. Dusty Baker's name drops.
Oh,
good God.
It's nonstop.
It's nonstop and it's valid.
Yeah.
It's valid.
These boys with
everybody.
Everybody.
Here is Dusty Baker and some name dropping.
They expect, you know, to play well. They expect to do good. I found that out last year. We had some guys struggling and they said, well, wait till the playoffs. And we barely squeaked in, and they said, hey, man, you know, we're going to turn it on in the playoffs. And I haven't seen many people in this game, you know, that can kind of turn it on when they want to. You know, come to mind, like Barry Bonds, he's like, I'm going to take over this game today. And he takes it over. Ricky Henderson says, hey, man, I'm going to steal 3 or 4 bases, and I'm going to take this game over by myself. And like I said, you don't find many, many players like that. You know, to have that ability or the mindset or the mind control to do it.
Now it's on to ATO.
And that's his B-list.
Drips and drops. Oh, yeah.
Barry Bonds and Ricky Henderson are his B-list.
All that coming up. Baseball under attack, and so is the Texans culture. Plus, new destination for J.J. Watt, but same old sad story. The hits are lit next.
playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Brought to you by workformetro.org. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Astros win. Series tied at one. On to Atlanta tomorrow through Sunday. But baseball's in a really weird spot. The ratings were strong in Houston, but game one of the World Series actually averaged 10.81 million viewers on Fox, making it the second least watched opener for a fall classic behind only last year's matchup between the Dodgers and Rays during COVID. That's very, very interesting. Jeff Passan was on with Pat McAfee, and they had an interesting conversation about the state of the game of baseball, which, let's be honest, it doesn't matter here.
No.
But globally, baseball has a serious problem, and this is Jeff Passan talking about it.
You want to talk baseball? Do you really? Hold on this show, do you actually want to talk baseball?
Well, the issue
or
is
you want to talk.
Well,
like that's what this show is.
No,
about.
No. This is a sports show. This is a sports show.
Right.
We okay. I didn't even know the World Series was happening. Right? I had no idea, but I did see on the internet that the Braves and Astros were still around, and I turned on a game at 9:54 p.m. last night. It was the third inning, okay? So I don't know what you guys are doing.
Don't either. Like, it's a real problem now. The biggest games of the year start at 8 o'clock p.m. on the day when the commissioner says, we don't consider ourselves a national sport. We look at ourselves as essentially 30 different markets. And you have games ending at midnight on a weeknight. The games are too slow. They start too late. And here's the thing. There are really good teams and really good players involved in this. There are great storylines. People aren't watching because the games take too long. And I know there are baseball fans out there that say, if you love the game, then you're going to watch the whole time. You're going to appreciate it. I love baseball. 4+ hour games stink. Sorry.
He's not wrong. Houston is so lucky to be insulated from the reality of baseball. Number one, more teams should be like the Astros. And I'm talking about the personality that they are allowed to have, certainly a lot of flair. And I'm not saying that that's absent around the league, but they just seem to have winning, consistent winning, excitement, just a really good, kind of, platform on television. They do a great job. Todd Callis and Julia and Blummer, they really do. That's not the reality. I've mentioned this statistic, which really opened my eyes big time when I came across it a few months ago. The average age of baseball viewers is 58. That's mind-blowing. I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
Well, I think you can also look at it this way, and I think this is...
Television viewers.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, even if you watch all 162, for the most part, I watch damn near the majority of the Astros games, 162. You ain't watching any other baseball games, if you're being honest with yourself.
No.
It's hard to follow. Like, it's hard to follow because of the pace, like... You can watch an NBA game and you can flip over and see what's happening. Or you can watch if the Texans didn't play till 3 this week, I felt like I knew everything that happened during the NFL slate. And I wasn't even red zoning. I was wired up to the top 2 games. It's hard to do in baseball, especially with this time commitment and all that. That's the problem too.
It's long. It's boring. These rules, not rules, but this trend of going to home runs and strikeouts has had an adverse effect on things. Batting averages are the lowest they've been in decades. There's not a lot of action. There's a lot of strikeouts. People just can't keep up with baseball. It's boring. We're lucky here. The Astros are not boring. But that doesn't take away from the bigger problem with baseball. It's a big, big issue.
Mark Ingram traded to the Saints. This was a back and forth between Mark Ingram, the former Texans running back, and David Culley in week one when the Texans were getting their only W.
I can't do it without you. We got to finish them.
Your presence on this football team, what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Very important. It ain't just about yards. It's about having you here.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yeah, love you, coach.
That is David Culley telling Mark Ingram how valuable he is, not just as a player, but his presence on the team. Mark Ingram no longer is a member of the Houston Texans. And he was one of the, maybe the, I said three guys are the cornerstones, Tyrod Taylor, him, and Brandon Cook. But he was the guy. He was also the most enjoyable to watch.
At running back, yes.
Yeah.
Wonder where they go from here. Does this mean more David Johnson? They're
going to
free
David Johnson?
We might hear
from Tim Kelly about that.
What did Tim Kelly say about David Johnson?
I think he's the guy now.
Oh, I thought he was talking about LaDainian Tomlinson.
No. He was talking. Well, he said he's really proved himself as a runner and in the passing game.
And oh, he wasn't talking about LaDainian?
No, it might sound that way.
It's David Johnson from the Houston Texans.
May have
here
sounded
my good
that
friend
way.
Toro.
You sure it wasn't Marshall Faulk?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Barry Sanders?
No, not Barry.
Not Emmett?
David Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tim Kelly, look, he knows more about football than me, so maybe he's seeing something different. I don't see what he sees in David Johnson. Brandon Cooks, as soon as Mark Ingram was traded, he tweeted, quote, "This is bull bleep."
Yeah.
Here was what Brandon Cooks had to say in the offseason, because now his name is circulating in trade rumors like crazy. It is clogging the timeline. Brandon Cooks trade rumors. This is what he said in the offseason. I want to ask you if you think that he still believes this.
You know, for me as a guy who's been traded multiple times, as far as a team think, you know, they could trade me for draft capital, I would caution to think twice because, quite frankly, I'm not going to accept any more trades. For me, if you want me off your team, you're just going to have to let me walk. But that's out of my hands.
Brandon, if I heard you right, you said you would not accept any more trades. Is that what you said?
Absolutely.
Well, can you tell me how you reached that conclusion? What would you retire? What would you do in that situation?
I mean, without going into any more, that's just how I feel. No need to get in specifics.
All right, you think he still feels that way?
You ever seen Facebook Marketplace? Somebody puts something up there and they just say, "Make offer."
Yeah,
that's what Brandon Cooks is doing. Make offer, all offers considered. Yeah, you know, he don't want to be here.
Okay, so that's one. He doesn't still feel that way.
Yeah.
This was him in the past when he first came to the Texans talking about Jack Easterby. I want you to tell me if he still feels this way.
Yeah, I can't say enough about a guy like Jack Easterby and what he's meant to me in my life. Just in that one year that I got to know him while I was in New England. You know, he's a special human being, not just for me, but for my family. And to be reunited is definitely a blessing. You talk about a guy that holds you accountable at a high standard. Those are the type of guys that you want to be able to work with. Gosh, I love Jack, and I look forward to being back with him.
All right, that was when he first got here, and that was based on what Jack Easterby was in New England. He's been here with him for about a year and a half now. You say you think he's still open. He's open to a trade now. He's changed his mind there. Do you think he still has that much respect for Jack Easterby as an organizational asset?
No, not in the least bit. His eyes have been open. You know, the key thing there, he was there with it for a year with Jack Easterby in New England. That was a good time, you know, for Easterby to kind of, get himself in good graces. They speak the same language, so to speak, and very religious. He's a culture guy. But now his eyes have been opened to Jack Easterby, I feel.
All right. What about this? This was Brandon Cooks after week three against the Carolina Panthers. So you're saying two for two so far.
Two for two.
Brandon Cooks changing his mind. Is he going to go three for three like Michael Brantley? Here it is, Brandon Cooks talking about the Texans after they lost to Carolina.
You know, I feel great. You know, we got a long time, you know, get a break, get recovered, get the bodies right. You know, there's no giving up. There's no negative energy in that locker room. We know what we got. We got something special. Very, very happy what's going forward, and we're going to continue to work in that aspect.
I believe the tweet said this is bull bleep. So the answer, you can almost take it straight from Brandon Cooks himself. When you say this is bull bleep, you're not talking about something that's special. So three for three.
All right, so Brandon Cooks, change of hearts. Will he be traded in the next 5 days? Who knows? But the one thing we do know is this Texans culture is very, very, very much under attack. We rolled our eyes at it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would rather you just say, we don't have good players, we need assets, yada, 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 not this culture. Because the culture is their biggest problem. Here was Seth Payne. This was a while ago. Seth talking about culture. And I think this about sums up how I feel. Don't want to speak for you, J-Lo, but I think a lot of listeners, loopholes, shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Feel this way as well.
Show up. Do your job. If you don't, you're going to get fired. over time, that develops into a culture because you get the kind of people that do that, and then all of a sudden you've got a winning culture. Instead, everybody wants to do it the reverse way. Like, we're going to create a culture. Yeah. It's going to be super fancy and awesome and nice, and then all of you guys, you'll reach your fullest potential as human beings. It'll be just groovy. Hey, look at me. Until I got to the Patriots, Bill Belichick was never even a good coach. Oh, wait, yeah, he was. He'd already won a whole bunch of Super Bowls. Get rid of all this fluff talk about culture and go out and do your job.
Thank you. Always get extra points when you say groovy, too. That's a good point.
Do you? I feel like you lose points.
Extra points for saying groovy.
This was Jack Easterby last year talking about culture. And it's ironic because he does have a bigger hand in creating culture. I mean, he's putting TJ Maxx signs around the locker room. And, you know, he's hiring guys that are in charge of character coach.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think any more highly of yourself than to bring in somebody that you knew, that you molded? After all the drama that has been brought to this organization and all the negative publicity that has come here, regardless of the context of it or anything, could you be more arrogant to have all of that smoke, regardless of him going around saying he doesn't believe it and it's fake, yada, mm-hmm. yada, yada, whatever it is, and bring in somebody that is basically your clone, who's
well, you
your
brought
understudy.
Him up. You raised him in this industry, at least.
And give him the title character coach. And I like Dylan.
Yeah.
So I don't want to criticize Dylan. I think people actually like Dylan. The only negative thing about Dylan is his company with Easterby, and he owes everything to him, so he can't say anything.
Well,
but, like, can you be any more arrogant than to do that?
It's absolutely arrogance, but I think it also shows you more than anything just how much power he has in that building. You talk about it, all the smoke, all the stuff going around him, and he's like, well, screw them. I'm going to hire a character coach. Not only am I going to hire a character coach, I'm going to hire a character coach from South Carolina that I basically raised. And so, you know, take that, you know, you bunch of haters.
Here's Easterby on personnel and culture. And this was when he was with King Bill O'Brien.
Overall, I would say just from the cap and the structure where we are, I think we're very happy with the moves we've made to get to this point. We've been blessed to invest in some great people. And I think what that does is creates a domino effect. When other people enter the locker room, it creates a unity and excitement and a culture that people want to be a part of. So I do think it's important to get those pieces in place now. We'll add one by one people that fit that culture and can celebrate together what we're doing.
Do you think they're celebrating what they're doing together in that locker room? Do you think there's unity? That's another word to use there, in that locker room. Do you think that they're, you know, the culture is developed and it's a winning culture? No,
absolutely
and no.
not. Yeah. Hell no. Astros win yesterday. Jose Urquidy surpassed our expectations.
Hey, how'd that path to victory go?
Your path to victories are on point.
Dude, it was point. Yesterday was like
flawless.
Flawless.
Flawless. By the way, congratulations.
What did I do?
You didn't do anything, but Jose Urquidy, the first Mexican-born player to have two victories in the World Series.
Well, out of baby. There were a lot. You know, it's funny when you get to the World
That's
Series.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I'm not downplaying it. But it made me think there were a lot of, you know, you're in the World Series. Everybody's looking for that little, you know, tidbit of information that, you know, he's the first this that ever did. I saw this one yesterday. I'm sure you did, too.
God.
I thought it was interesting. Oh, I'm not making fun of it.
Here we go.
I'm not. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So when Fried pitched against Bregman, that was the first time in Major League history that in a World Series, a Jewish person pitched to a Jewish batter.
Really?
Yes. The first time a Jew pitched against a Jew in the
There's
World Series.
There's no way that's
not
true.
Kofa.
Wasn't Koufax Jewish?
Yes, but I guess he never pitched against a Jew in the World Series.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. So, but their wives were probably still complaining. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Whoa. You're going to get canceled with that one.
A joke.
I
thought that was really cool.
I don't think Bregman's wife is Jewish. She might be. I'm not sure.
I didn't care for the sake of that Fried, line that popped into my head.
What about Fried, the peach fuzz mustache? What's he doing out there with that?
I thought it was fine. He didn't look bad.
He looked like a damn
dude.
Goofball.
I said get to Fried early because he's going to settle in and he could be trouble.
I think he did a good job battling.
He did a
though.
Great job.
Those are the kind of outings like that I respect just as much as like Jim's, because you know he ate some innings and their bullpen was taxed. If you told me that the Astros could have, I don't want to go that far. I'll just say this. Outside of a 2-0 series lead, with Charlie Morton being out for the rest of the series, there are very few scenarios where you could have had a more successful two games at home. There might only be one. And I know that sounds
insensitive. Well, getting the
win. Yeah, 2-0 is the only other thing. But other than that, a split, this isn't a true split. This is more than a split because they don't have Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
They don't have a guy who's pitched 13 scoreless innings against
them. Freed talked about yesterday. He's open to pitching on 3 days rest, which bring it.
All right, they're a tough guy.
In game five, bring it.
All right, tough guy.
You're not, you know, I mean, he's very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But, he's not that guy. He can't go on three days.
Speaking of Jewish, one of the proudest Jewish men I know, and this is a random shout out, and I don't even consider this a sport, but it's all over the place.
I know who you're talking about, Michael?
No. One of my best friends, Jeff Platt.
Yeah?
Fourth place at the World Series of Poker.
Seriously?
Fourth place. He had been at the final table before. Fourth place.
Wow.
He works in broadcasting. We came up together. He's a USC alum. Fourth place at the final table.
That is awesome.
One of my best friends in the world. Fourth place, man.
I think you probably ruined it for ESPN, but that's okay.
He's already said it. Yeah, he's got it.
Has he said it publicly?
Yeah.
Or just to you?
Yeah, they say it.
Okay, because I thought they wait until they broadcast.
Nah, you'll see him on there, but yeah. Fourth place.
I think our guy Michael Beckman is Jewish.
Shout out to Michael Beckman.
Yeah.
Good dude.
It was a good day for him. It was a good day for us Hispanic folk with Urquidy.
It wasn't really a good day for white guys. I'm trying to think. Nah, Tuck looked good. Tuck looked good.
White guys had a bad day.
Race car! Nah, Tuckman, Presley, Graveman did their thing, but I would say that it was a better day for Latinos and Jewish people than it was us white folks.
There you go.
I mean, y'all got all the history.
We just can't catch a break.
It's about time, right, Figgy?
Yeah.
Us white guys just can't catch a break.
Yeah. I think you're on the wrong show. I think you're on the wrong radio program. Just saying.
Clay Travis coming up at the top of the hour. Here is Jose Siri. I used his translator a little back and forth with Mark Berman. You knew Berman was going to get mushy. Here was Jose Siri.
I've never been scared, to be honest. I just have to give thanks to God that I've never had fear. I'm not scared.
Jose, one other thing. You've been in the minor leagues for so long, and everything that you went through, have you had a chance to think about all your struggles and where you've been, and here you are now, playing a key role in the World Series?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, I've worked a whole lot to get here to the point that I am, and it means a lot for me, and to have my family with me as well just means a lot. To have my parents, my brother, my siblings with me just means everything.
All right. Shout out to Siri. Tomorrow it's going to get interesting. We'll get more in-depth on that. Looks like Greinke's going to be the Game 4 starter.
Yeah, he was in the dugout. That's a telltale sign.
I saw Tags talking about that, the great Brian McTaggart. Man, that hair's getting pretty fresh for him. He's feeling it, didn't he?
You could have texted me, man.
What do you mean?
As soon as I saw him in the dugout, I knew right there he's going to be the Game 4 starter, because there was, you know, he would have been in the bullpen like Odorizzi was if they had any plans for him to come in as a reliever.
I just wanted to give Tiger a shout out.
I love Tags.
Up. Yeah, sorry.
I love him.
Sorry.
Big country and Western fan.
Yeah, got that nice hair right now.
Real good friend. Things. He's got that longer locks working,
doing it,
man.
Yeah, he's feeling it.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker going to be in center field tomorrow. Wow. That's how you're doing him?
I love Tags.
J.J. Watt, by the way, out for the season. Mm-hmm. Likely. Might be back for the playoffs. Injured his shoulder against the Texans. I didn't even know that. He's not going to play tonight. Neither is Davante Adams. Neither is Alan Lazard. Green Bay has COVID issues. The Cardinals have injury issues, although it looks like Chandler Jones could be back.
Good thing T. Mills said to bet on Green Bay. He just tweeted that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. -6.5.
He'll still do it. T. Mill be betting.
Yeah.
He'd be betting.
Yeah.
He puts it out there, too.
I wouldn't bet on
I don't
Green
like
Bay
putting
tonight.
My bets, like, public every day.
Yeah.
That takes coconuts. Shout out to T-Mills Coconuts, but I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
I get superstitious.
Oh, okay. I thought because you just didn't want to be exposed.
No, I get superstitious.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't want to hear some jackass when I lose like a couple $100 saying, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
you don't think I feel bad about it?
No.
The biggest scumbags are the ones who give you.
I'm thrilled we lost money.
Yeah, I'm happy. But the biggest scumbags are the ones who give out betting picks and they don't even bet.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Coming up, the culture and the Astros looking to win a World Series next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.